Tired of jumping from job to job? How about a career in a recession-proof industry where you can make a difference and help create a healthier living and working environment? The pest management industry gives you the opportunity to work with more independence. OPC Pest Services will give you a chance to grow with advancement. Come be a part of our team at OPC Pest Services. Apply online at opcpest.com/careers. That's opcpest.com/careers.
Where do you go to find all your favorite wine, beer, and spirits with selections customized to local tastes? For over 25 years, that go-to place has been Cox's Spirit Shop. Cox's, Louisville's go-to liquor store.
Welcome back. Welcome back to Middays with Mark Smaven, Steve Rummage, Coach Mark Lieberman here. We were having a nice little conversation with Dr. Eric Nunley. Listen.
And also, that's another thing. Like, if you're comfortable and your dentist is like someone relatable and.
Listen.
Like, yes.
Big time Louisville fan. Yes. Yeah, big time Louisville fan. Big time Louisville donor. He does a lot of good stuff. he's a big fan, man. I enjoy. He's a good friend too. He's a good guy. Yeah, really
love his
good
office.
Guy. Yeah. Okay. Well, we're out here at Triple Crown Dentistry. Like I said, we're right in the middle of a coaching search. I don't know. Apparently, I just responded to a tweet on Twitter. Nick, I think we got fired. Me and Marcus got fired.
Oh, no. By who?
You know that? I don't know, but somebody said that they heard a rumor that the 10 to noon show was changing on 93.9. I was like,
huh.
Is Drew fired? Did I get fired? Did Marcus get fired? You know why Marcus isn't here, right?
I don't.
This is his – I'm going to out him right now on the air. And he's going to love it.
Here we go.
This is Marcus's spring cleaning time. I kid you not. You're laughing. I'm not joking. He starts it, and when he starts it, it's never planned. But when he starts it and he gets it rolling,
he can't stop.
He does it. He clears up all his stuff. He gets it. Look, everything.
Is there dusting involved?
Listen, I'm not talking just at his home. When Marcus spring cleans, Marcus does everything for the year. Whatever needs to be done to his car, whatever needs to be done with bills, like yearly bills that need to be done, everything, he gets it all done. And when he gets rolling, he's rolling.
Can I get him to help me?
I need to get things organized.
I am not. Like,
and I will say, usually he's on the show. He's not on the show. He had something else he had to get taken care of too. So that I will keep private. But there is, he's in a full. So if you've called him the last couple of days, he's not been on his night show. That's why. he's rolling. he's just getting his stuff, man, getting it done. I'm like, I talked to him 2 or 3 times yesterday and this morning, and like, I respect it. Get to what you're doing. So,
by the way, thanks for getting this hookup here. I've got the microphone. I feel like a lounge singer.
Yeah, is it better?
Yeah.
Just a kick back in those chairs.
Oh, no, this is great.
Like dangling you play the jazz flute.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, this is great. Like I'm doing a Las Vegas show. Fantastic.
Like, yeah, it's awesome, man. All right, let's get back to it. You say we got Alex on the line?
Yes, sir.
Alex, welcome in, buddy. What's going on?
Hey, what's up, Steve? Listen, I'm going to be honest with you. If Josh hires the Indiana State coach, I can't handle that. I'm just going to be real with you. He's going to have to go undefeated and win a national championship for me to believe it's real.
Because if he does that, I'll be a fan.
Okay, that's true, 100%.
A few people will be a fan, I think.
But I just don't, in my personal opinion, I just don't see how, sorry, there's a monitor going off. I'm calling you from work. Don't tell anybody.
Well, good news is you work in healthcare, so surely nothing bad's going on, right?
No, nothing bad at all at the ED and U of L. Nothing bad at all. I just stepped out for a little bit. But I had to call because this is ridiculous. Because there is no freaking way. There's no way that this man, that you can look at the resume of Richard Pitino and Josh Schertz and think he's the better hire. Like, they're, to me, that's crazy as hell. Like, I just don't see it, and I just don't have faith in being – if I'm a regular person and I can see that, I don't understand how the AD doesn't see it. But I don't know. And then you have a fantastic coach sitting right next to you who would be on the bench of this other fantastic coach that we trust. How the hell does this not make sense? But, hey, what do I know? I'm just a fan that is overly emotional, I guess. I don't know, but – I got to get back to
passion.
No, Alex, listen, I think that there will be a lot of people. Again, I appreciate the call, man. I can find myself behind Josh Schertz if that's what I have to do. But I will say there's a lot that are going to feel like Alex, that it's going to be very much, look, I don't care. Don't even come back and talk to me until November. I want to see what happens. You know, and I think there's going to be a lot like that. The only – somebody – you know what? It was actually Nick Coffey, of all people, brought this up to me yesterday. It's like, hey, man. If you're going to hire Josh Schertz, and again, like I said, I'm not anti-Josh Schertz or anything. Not even going to give Davenport a look. I mean, I know the age is different, and I get that, and maybe you do want to hire somebody that's younger. I'm just like, I feel you on that too. You know, I mean, you know, you can look at it and say, okay, well, you know, I mean, they're somewhat similar there. And again, I'm not roping you. I'm not pulling you into that conversation.
Because I
think Josh Schertz could be fine. I we'll see.
Right.
Yeah.
I think navigating and having an understanding of everything that goes into the portal and into the NIL is a different animal. And so the coaches at the Power Five schools are dealing with that on a day-to-day. They have grasped it. They know how to navigate it. They've worked it where you have some other guys who just – it's going to be something that's going to be a new – type of thing that they're going to have to understand
absolutely.
And grasp. So when you have guys who've done it before, that's why people are, you know, with the Power Five schools, they've done it. And so a guy like Richard Pitino has done that for the past three years.
Well, I'm going to repeat what I said in the first hour, too, because I know it's 11 o'clock hour. We do have some new listeners. But to me, one of the biggest things is the grace he would get. You feel attached to Richard Pitino as a fan base. Jeff Brohm, let me say it again. Jeff Brohm lost to Kentucky, Florida State, and USC down the stretch. You could say they face planted, okay? Like I said, they're in pro day. They're not hearing me right now, so I'm allowed to say that. And you know what this fan base did? We got to figure it out. Let's figure it out. Let's figure it out together. What do we need to do? Do we need to get more money to the NIL? How do we fix this? That's because he has grace, because you feel connected to Jeff Brohm. That's what Richard Pitino would have here, where it would be, okay, no, you've got a mass group of fans behind you. Okay, and now you give us something. Now, you know, you've got to give us something. You know, you can't come in and be terrible, which I don't think there's any chance that would happen. But if he come in, you know, it would be a more of a collective grace behind a coach. That's what we need, because you feel connected to him. And that's a big deal here. People can say that this is one of the unique jobs in the country where that matters. Like I said, even with Scott Drew, it sounded crazy to the normal ear, it sounded crazy to say, well, the fact that he really don't gamble, he doesn't like horse racing, he doesn't drink at all, he doesn't do any of that, that might be a problem. And it was like, that, oh, my God, I mean, he wins games. Well, sure, if he wins. But, again, I take you back to Charlie Strong. Charlie Strong won a ton of games. People were not with Teddy Bridgewater, his senior day game for a top 12 Louisville team that had one loss in front of about 25,000 fans, because people just weren't connected to Charlie Strong, and they won like crazy.
You know,
it makes a difference.
When we got to FIU, and it's for people to understand, it was the most dormant program. It was in disarray.
Sure.
And I understand.
Is that post Isaiah Thomas?
It was right after Isaiah Thomas.
Right. Okay.
So, you know, and it was, and from APR to everything was a complete mess. I would tell you this. It was almost like he became a motivational speaker. He went to every group, from the Miami Chamber of Commerce to the Junior Orange Bowl Club. Like, we went around town, and it was like stumping for like an office and going to just get people to be excited about it. And actually, this is even before we got people to donate to the program for just little things, because we didn't even have like – We didn't have an extra pair of practice uniforms down there. It was amazing. So what he did firsthand and just seeing him, how he can engage people and get people excited, that's something.
And like you said, built that team, almost beat Louisville there.
Yeah.
I mean, almost beat Louisville there and went to the conference championship game. You know, I mean, that's.
You should have mentioned that was my scout, too, but that's okay. Oh, we'll let that pass.
Well, I watched the TBT. I don't believe it.
Again, just to put it in the most simplistic terms,
absolutely,
he
man.
Gets it, and he gets this town as well as anybody.
He does, and that's a big deal here. Nick, I'm sorry. Who did you say we had up next?
No worries. We got our boy Chris.
Chris, welcome in, man. 93.9 The Ville.
What's up, Steve, Coach?
Yep, we're just hanging out, man.
Hey, I'm almost thinking, Steve, your boy's going to be on this team, ain't he?
My boy? Which one? My son?
Yeah.
Nope.
he ain't gonna make the mistake you did and not come play for us.
Absolutely.
So here's what I'm thinking.
Okay.
Tino, okay. I'll get to him in a second. What I don't want us to do is make the mistake that the team down the road that Indiana made when they fired Calvin Simpson for some minor things. The fact that we won't look at Wade and give him a true interview for things that are illegal now.
I know, but the thing
if Indiana had it to do over again,
I'm with you. I'm with you. But it's like the guy that called in earlier. What I'm telling you is you can call in and say we should be looking at Beard, we should be looking at Sean Miller, we should be looking at Will Wade.
No Beard.
Okay, no Beard for you then.
What they did are completely different.
I understand that, Chris, but I'm saying like that's still the people that are you're taking them out for reasons outside of basketball is what I mean. Though that group,
all I'm saying is just interview them, see where they're at today.
But they're not going to, and that's why I'm telling you. That's why it's not like the guy that called in earlier and he's like, why are we talking about Richard? We should be talking about Sean Miller. Well, that's not the case. It's going to be Sean Miller or Josh Ertz. I mean, that's who we're talking about here. You know, I mean, I'm not jumping on you, Chris. I'm just saying,
I get it.
I feel you.
I'm just saying, I don't want to see us make that same mistake.
I know.
Indiana has never been the same since they let him go over.
Since they let Samson go. I understand, man. And listen, and Chris, I appreciate it, man, for sure. But it's just, I appreciate the call, Chris. But, I mean,
it was the Southland Conference, too.
Yeah. Fair enough.
I coached in that conference.
Okay. All right. Yeah, fair enough.
So,
I don't know, though, man. My thing is just, I mean, I don't want to me, I'm telling you, and you can do it if you want, but that's a conversation you got to take up with Josh Hurd, I guess. I just don't want to waste the time. I mean, yeah, okay, we can argue about they should call Will Wade, they should call Sean Miller, they should call, but they're not. I mean, it looks as though Josh Hurd or Richard Pitino, with maybe a Pat Kelsey in there, your coach is going to come from one of those three. That's the resumes we're scrubbing. That's the coaches we're scrubbing. That's the conversation right now. Yeah, I mean, I'm with you, man. Hey, if Sean Miller become available today, cool. Go get him. I mean, not available, but if Josh Hurd had decided he's going to look at him, fine. Go get him. I'm not going to complain. I'm not going to throw a fit if you said, I don't want Richard. I want Sean Miller. Okay, cool. I understand it. But that's not on the table. So we're wasting time even having that conversation. You know what I'm saying?
Every single day there could be a new name that someone just pops up, a fan just gets excited about, just reads an article and so on. That's just it's the way it goes.
But, yeah.
You know, you're targeting guys that want this job.
It's like arguing with Nick Valvano. Like yesterday, every time – look, sorry, Nick.
What's the old saying?
Yeah.
It's like getting into a pissing contest with the skunk. You can't win and the skunk likes it.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, where I was like, hey, every time I'd make a great point about Richard and Shirts, he would be like, well, what about Will Wade? And I'm like, what about Will Wade? We're not talking about Will Wade. It's not going to happen. So there's no – but, yeah, so, I mean, that's where we sit now, and I just say – if you want to have the conversation of Richard or this guy when it comes to Shirts or Kelsey, hey, if you like Shirts or Kelsey over Richard, cool. I feel you. That's fine. I don't. I think there's a significant difference between them. But at the end of the day, I mean, Drew said it earlier, and everybody you talk to, listen, Josh is making the hire, man. And I don't think he is being swayed in any certain way by anybody ahead of him. If he was, I mean – then the candidate list would look a lot different. you know, and this is his hire. So, at the end of the day, he's made it clear. He's going to pick the coach. I can disagree with it, but he's going to pick who he wants at the end of the day. I mean, I may hate it, but I'll deal with it. I'm still going to root for him.
I don't think you're going to hate it.
Oh, good. Well, thank you. Well, I appreciate that.
And Nick, I think a better analogy is never wrestle with a pig. You both get dirty and the pig likes it. I think it's better than your story.
Yeah, you.
Yeah, but mine involves skunks, a skunk and piss. So
piss and skunks.
I politely disagree.
You're not allowed to disagree with us today. Remember, that was the rule.
Yeah, you were supposed to be. Right, I mean, look, you've got enough crap to deal with here in about 30 minutes. So let's get to Anais. Yeah, Anais, welcome in, man. What's going on, buddy?
Good morning, everyone. How you guys doing this morning?
We're good, man. How you doing this morning?
Everything. Nick Cronin doesn't sound too bad right now, does he?
I understand that sentiment, too. There was a lot of people early that crapped on a lot of candidates that it's like, hey, well, you know, picking from a different pool now.
Yeah, right. Now, I feel like I actually shout out to Madge off Power 10. She said yesterday, I felt it was real funny. She said it feels like we're picking between diarrhea and pebbles right now. It's both poop. You know what I'm saying?
Gosh.
So it's kind of like, you know, we're just kind of.
She's good people, yep.
Yeah, for sure. So first, you know, I've been really off the air but I'm not really called in, you know, just speaking my piece because the Dusty May kind of just really just threw a wrench in my plans. I really got bamboozled. I thought for sure he was coming here. I mean, I was looking at X's and O's. I was looking, you know, at how he was participating and talking with the media and all of that. So I mean, I was with everyone. He was already my second option. I think the guy's going to kill it at Michigan. Now, I do believe that, I mean, if he was to really decide between Vanderbilt and Louisville, if I'm Josh, I'm sorry, I pulled that offer. I mean, you can't decide between if you tell me you're deciding between Vanderbilt and Louisville, you're not willing to crawl here. You're not willing to really be that man here. It's kind of like you're deflecting from the pressure, if that makes sense, you know? So I feel like if that was really the case and he was really deciding between Vanderbilt, Michigan, and Louisville, if I'm Josh Hurd, I mean, Michigan, okay, I can understand it because Michigan has had some success. Let's not act like Michigan's some bum program. I mean, they had it rocking back when they had John Beilein and Trey Burke and all them boys. Like, they had them rocking. You know, so, I mean, Michigan's not a bum program. So I can understand Michigan. But Vanderbilt, I mean, the moment he says, you can't decide between Vanderbilt and Louisville. But if Michigan was definitely in the mix, because obviously they were, I mean, maybe the guy just didn't want to be in the spotlight. And maybe we just dodged a bullet. I mean, that could be the case. Maybe we dodged a bullet. I really did like his X's and O's and how he communicated. So that's why I was really pushing for him. But really outside of that, though, now I feel like we're in the stage where we can't really look at – well, we have to look at qualifications for sure. But we have to look at more traits than qualifications, if you're following me. Like,
sure.
Are you a good teacher? Are you a good communicator?
Yeah.
What do you do well? What don't you do well? You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
What's your upbringing? Like, you know, you have to kind of search the person and how they understand the game now instead of, oh, you've been to 5 Final Fours and you've won 3 championships. That's kind of where we're at now. And, I mean, if you look at Richard Pitino, I mean, yes, his last name's Pitino. And let's just be honest, act like we're just, you know, not – how can I explain it? But yes, basically, Richard Pitino, his last name's Pitino, and his dad had a connection here. And if his last name was not Pitino, would I say that more than 95% or less than 95% of the fan base would want him? No. I mean, yes, they wouldn't want him because his last name's Pitino. So, but then I feel like the guys that really do know ball, I mean, like you said, he's really young. I mean, yes, he's been to Minnesota. It's really hard to win at Minnesota, very, very hard to win at Minnesota. He went to New Mexico State. He's been very good there. He's pushed into the tournament. The same thing with Minnesota. Yes, he didn't have that much success. But then again, he's 41. And like I've said,
he's a young
guy. Said this, I think, on this radio show, and I'll say it on plenty of podcasts. I've said, you know, it took John Calipari 20 years to win his first ring. You know, I understand he was flooded with talent. I mean, it took Roy Williams, I think, 18 years to win one ring, and I'm not comparing Richard Pitino to Roy Williams or John
Calipari. Well, no, sure, sure. But he still has a lot of coaching at 41, Richard has a resume of a 60-year-old. Like, I mean, he has so much coaching ahead of him. I mean, when you look at a guy like I get, and Anais, thank you, man. That's really insightful call. I really appreciate your call there. My favorite line of that whole call was he was like, you know, Richard, his dad's got a connection here. I was like, well, yeah, a little bit.
Just a smidge.
Yeah.
A word?
He's connected a touch. But no, he brings up a good point, man. And I mean, I do agree with him when you say at this point, resumes are all going to have holes in them. You do have to look at traits. You do have. So when somebody says things like, well, it only matters because of connection and this and that, I'm like, well, yeah, but I mean, yes, that's a big deal.
So everybody, well, if his last name wasn't Pitino, blah, blah, blah.
Sure.
The guy is a hell of a coach. He gets it. If people saw
I disagree. When people say if his last name wasn't Pitino, it's easy for me to just say, well, yeah, but it is Pitino. But also I say, no, if you pulled his resume up, his resume is still pretty dang good.
Mm-hmm.
A guy that coached under – he come from – let's act like he's not Rick's son. He come from the Rick Pitino coaching tree. He's won conference tournaments and conference championships at a high level, okay? He's coached under Billy Donovan. He's coached under Rick Pitino. You know what I mean? Like, he's worked his way up from College of Charleston to Northeastern.
It was at Duquesne. When he first got into it, he was an assistant at a prep school.
Sure.
You talk about someone who didn't want something handed to him and grinded this out. And just from seeing it firsthand and seeing.
Does he have a better resume than Dusty May?
Yeah.
I agree.
Well, you know, you got the
I like Dusty May.
If you realized what he did to get us to the Final Four in 2012, the amount of work he put in and the amount his father
wants
to control a lot of variables.
Yeah.
And basically I'm sure these from all the players who are still in town will talk about how much of an impact he had on getting us there because of the work he put in. And he took nothing for granted. He wasn't like, okay, I can just, my name is this, I can, no. That's the last thing. It's actually the opposite. He feels like that drive to prove that he can do it.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, we got full phone lines. Let's get to a film. Kevin, welcome in, man. What's up?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
What up?
Hey, I know we're talking about Richard Pitino.
Sure.
I was a fan of his dad's. Not a fan of him coming back coaching. But, you know, you think about where Musselman, Nate Oates, where were those guys 10 years ago? Those guys were those diamonds in the rough, okay, that guy that you want to find. And that's what Louisville's going to have to do right now. They're going to have to find that diamond in the rough. And we're kind of in that tweener space. Indiana still hasn't found it yet. So, I think we just need to settle down, let Josh do his job, and get behind whoever he picks. And, you know, I think the rest will play out, guys. I think we're getting a little too excited about things we can't control. That's all I got, gentlemen.
Kevin, I appreciate the call, and I agree with you. But I also, you know, I mean, we work on sports radio,
so we are going to get excited. And that's life.
I mean, listen, I'm with you. We should just sit back and let Josh completely do his job, You know, I would also just sit here quietly for 2 hours and go, well, we're just gonna sit here quietly and wait till Josh says something.
Talk about spring training.
Like, well, I mean, you know, we do got to talk candidates. But I understand what he's saying, and then you do. And hey, maybe Josh Sheritz is that guy. I don't know, man. Maybe he's the next diamond in the rough. Maybe we all, you know, are like, hey, I was worried about it when they hired him. I mean, sure. I mean, there's so many you can find. I mean, if you want to go back through – I mean, you can find anybody and say, I mean, like, if you want to call in and go, we should take shirts. Why? Because Coach K coached at Army. Okay. Well, yeah, that's one that works. You're right. I can find plenty that won't, that were disasters. So, you know, all of it is its own thing. All right, let's keep it rolling, man. Who did you say we have next? Daniel?
Daniel is next, yes.
Daniel, welcome in, man. What's going on?
Yeah, I've been listening all day to this Richard stuff, and I cannot disagree more. We have got to get away from our past. We're doing the same thing we did with Kenny Payne. Everybody is so down because everybody's turned us down. They want to go back to the glory days, and let's get Richard. If you take Richard's name off of his resume, he has nothing to get this job. 1-3 in the NCAA tournament. You're just going back to the Pitino name, and that's it. I'm sorry, Mark. I know you want to be part of the staff, Lieberman. but we have got to get away from it. There is
okay. Well, let me. Can I ask you a question? Who would you hire right now?
I would rather have. If you're going to go through the pool we have now, I would rather go Ben McCollum, Division II, that's won 4 national titles. That's who I would get. If we're at this level, that's who I would go for. I would have him over Shirts or any of these other guys. But I know that he's Division II, and you're going to write that off. But we have got to get away from Richard. We've got to get away from the past. We need a clean start. That's just the way. You know, the first text I got this morning, bring out the polls. Here comes Richard. And we're going to have all that again. We have got to get away from the past. I'm sorry. That's the way I feel about it. Thanks.
Okay. All right. Appreciate it, man. Yeah. Maybe we'll check out the D2 guy.
Everybody's entitled.
Hey, look, yeah, you're entitled. I'd never
disparage anybody.
I get it, man. Because, I do think there are people. There are people like Daniel that are going to say, I don't want the past here again. I don't want to do it. Now, to say him and Kenny Payne are the same type of thing, we're talking two different worlds.
You're not going to please everybody, no matter what.
And God, no.
And that happens with every choice. And, look, the stuff that even we talked about earlier with Minnesota, that's made him an even better coach to understand how to what he's gone through. Me, personally, he's my friend. We work together. I hope I haven't come across as just shilling and just trying to make this about Richard. Because I mentioned Josh Ertz, Pat Kelsey, I know him.
You're actually good friends with Josh Ertz. Mm-hmm. So,
I have relationships with these guys.
Yeah.
I worked with him for 2 years.
Yeah, it's not about a game. Yeah.
And I understand. People on the outside, it's just like everything else. Until you go to a practice, until you watch, that's just the way it is.
Yeah. So, I mean, that part.
God bless. Everybody can speak what they
I mean, I will say that. Like, don't call in here. The only part of Daniel's, I agree with Daniel on. I mean, I'm okay with Daniel having his own opinion, but also don't call in and say, "Well, you're only pumping him for this reason." Like that, dude.
Well, the other thing.
We're the flagship station of 93.9 The Ville. We're gonna get access if they hire. If they hire, it don't matter who they hire. We're gonna have access. Like, I don't want to hire for access. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's not a thing there. But hey, and look, man, the G2 guy McCollum might be a good hire. I've never looked into him, but I mean, a guy like that might be just fine. I mean, shoot, if you're looking for the next up and comer, crazier things have happened. You know, so
and look, all the people that talk about, whether it was Sean Miller or Will Wade, with things that happened in their past, I could just speak to the fact that, you know, Richard, knowing him, he has integrity, and it's.
I actually commend Diener for getting on here this morning and saying, no, I like Richard. I know Richard. Let me be clear. I'm biased. Mm-hmm. I'm being biased. Like, to me, that should take the bullets out of the chamber of, well, you're just doing it for this. No, I'm not trying to hide it. Yeah, no, like, yeah, well, I know Richard.
Neither am I, because I know what he's about, whether it's people wanted to just embrace my opinion or not, that's fine. I've got tough skin.
You know? right.
You know, I get it.
Let's keep it rolling. Kim, welcome into 93.9 The Ville. What's going on? Do we got Kim? Nikki?
Next up, sorry, I was on the phone. Next up, we got our girl Kim.
Okay.
Sorry, I didn't know what you said.
I love Nick.
You want to know what I was dealing with back here? I had a caller that, and I'm not trying to be mean, as the phone's ringing, of course. But they were looking for, they were trying to sell memorabilia to Maven, and then they were looking for John Ramsey.
And Maven will not buy your memorabilia, I assure you. Kim, welcome in. Sorry about that. How's it going? Do we got Kim?
Do we have her, Nick?
Kim?
Kim must have dropped off because the phone's not working.
Yeah. So. That's not on you. That's not on you. Do we have somebody next?
Yes, we do have Harold.
Harold, welcome in, man. What's going on?
Hey, real quick, you know, good morning, gentlemen. I woke up salty seeing Rich's name. But one thing you said that resonates with me is that he's 41 and has a lot of coaching left. And as someone who earnestly feels that Will Wade is a fit for this job because he has a lot of coaching left, that really resonates with me. So I want to let you know, as a person who's like, That makes sense.
He's not your number one. Sure. Absolutely, Harold. I get what you're saying there. Where it's not my number one, but
I can see growing. I can see that growing. And you know, Coach, I think you said something. You said something else that resonates with me. Not trying to escape your name per se, but trying to prove that you are more than your name. That actually moves the needle with me a lot too. That moves the needle a whole lot with me because we've seen the opposite. We've seen folks who let their name do their work for them. And so to hear you say that, you know, what I'm saying he's trying to prove that he's his own man. I can get with that. So I just wanted to call and share that, you know what I'm saying? I'm still where I am, but those things resonate.
Appreciate that, Harold. Yeah, absolutely, man. I appreciate the call. And Harold's one that just listened to some shows yesterday. I know he's a fan of Josh Schertz, which, again, I think some people took me and Nick's spat yesterday as like, you know, it was like, I refuse to get behind the program if it's Josh Schertz.
It was good radio.
Yeah, I don't believe that. I mean, I think Josh Schertz is a much bigger risk than Richard, and I think if I'm looking at the temperature of this fan base, I'm going Richard on that. But if it's Schertz, I mean, listen, he can do great stuff, man. Like, he does good stuff. You watch their games, I mean, there's a lot. I mean, the way they move the ball, the way they play, he concerns me a touch defensively, but – my gosh, I mean, 18th in offense. That's top 20 offense. If you can find a way to get that defense into the top 20, you're a national championship contender, you know, so.
You got to give him credit for the kind of guys he brought in there.
Absolutely.
And, you know, you look at them, some of those guys don't pass the eye test, but collectively they play well, they play together.
Oh,
and
yeah.
The style of play is fun, for sure.
Absolutely, 100% on that. All right, Nick, who do we have next? Do we have anybody?
We got a full bank of calls. I believe they're all here, so we'll start off with Jason, then we'll get Ron and Jacob.
Okay, Jason, welcome in, man. 93.9 Ville, what's up?
What's up, guys? Am I on?
Yes, sir. We got you.
Yeah, hey, fellas. Hey, so I don't live locally in the area anymore. I grew up in Louisville. A huge Cards fan. And 50 years old, you know, I go back to the Denny Crum days. Man, I was 6 years old in 80 and obviously 12 years old in 86 when we won. And obviously watched the entire Rick Pitino era from afar. But obviously followed it extremely as closely as I could from being up here, man. And looking at where we're at now, I think just one point I wanted to make before I have my question, I wanted to just talk to Coach Lieberman real quick about Richard and his playing style. But just an observation, I think, you know, we as a fan base, I think, have to realize kind of where we, you know, the situation. Not rose-colored glasses, because we tend to look at ourselves through rose-colored glasses, and, you know, nobody else is going to defend Louisville or fight for Louisville. We're the only one that's going to fight for Louisville, right? But you know, from a kind of a 10,000-foot view, you know, we have endured, obviously, as everybody knows, so many negative, challenging things that it's knocked us down more than a few pegs. So this is where we're at in our coaching search, and we're really, obviously, everybody's feeling desperate. I know Josh Hurd is feeling desperate and wants to make the best hire. When you look at Richard, because he's not his father, but when you look at Richard, Coach, I wanted to ask you, it's my belief or my understanding, I haven't watched really any of his games when he was at Minnesota or certainly at FIU or at New Mexico, but it's my understanding his coaching style is pretty much the same with some additional wrinkles and kind of approaches that his father teaches. Is that accurate or is that not accurate?
Well, as far as the exact same style that his father plays, on the offensive end, probably not. He is a big believer in, just like Coach Pitino and myself, that you want better players, not better plays. So skill development is huge, because when you get into conference play, when you get into the NCAA tournament, about 23% of the stuff is thrown out the window because you've already – teams have prepared for you and so on. So you want guys that can make plays and so on. As far as offensively, yeah, he derived a lot of stuff when the 2 years he spent with Billy, and he's been a student of the game. So as far as playing fast and getting at and playing at a pace that fans like, that is absolutely true. Defensively, the pressure is there, And yeah, he understands that. He grasped that as well. If you look at his teams, they're very aggressive defensively as well, charting deflections, understanding getting in passing lanes and ball pressure. All those things are similar. But that's a lot of great coaches have that way. But he's been lucky enough to be around two of the best in the business and learn from them as well.
I'll tell you what, Coach, that was my big question, because I think the culturally, all the off-the-court stuff, I have Invisalign, guys, and I just got my trays changed today, so I'm just listening a little bit.
No worries, man.
You know, I think there's going to be a portion of the fan base who obviously would have reservations for a lot of different reasons, but I think the off-the-court, from the storylines and kind of harkening back to our legacy and kind of bringing a cathartic presence and like kind of closing the gap, is a natural fit if Richard would take the job and if Josh would hire him. My question was, on the court, is the product going to be something that we are all really, really excited to watch and is very entertaining? And it sounds like it. So I'm on board, man. Nothing against Josh Hurts. If he gets the job, cool. But if Josh Hurd is really ready to put his cojones on the table and make this hire with Richard, I think it would be amazing from a storyline standpoint, and it sounds like from an on-the-court standpoint as well. Go Cards, and I think everybody just needs to stick together, man. We're going to get through this, and we'll see where this takes us, boys. Thank you so much, fellas, and have a great day.
Appreciate that call, Jason. Yeah, absolutely. Nick, how do you want to treat this, man? It's 11:40. Should we take the break and see if people will hold through the break?
Just go ahead and shoot through the calls. And I've got it set up that we can just take a longer top of the hour break. So we're good.
Okay, and if you're we'll get what's on the board now. Who do we got next?
We got Ron.
Ron, welcome into 939 The Ville. What's going on, man?
Hey, Ron. Hey, guys. I'm an old man here, 82
You're
years
fine,
old.
Buddy.
Been following the Cards for many, 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 many years. I listen to you guys all the time, as well as Mark, the guy at 3 o'clock in the afternoon.
Yeah, Mark Ennis.
And I have followed all the people that are coming up as favorites to get this job. And I think we're losing something here real fast. We were good with the guy from Baylor, and then the guy from Florida, Atlantic. Yep. But we're getting off of our focus. Our focus, if I remember all this conversation, we've got to get a guy who can win. And absolutely. I don't think – I love Richard. I think I respect him, and I'm a major fan of his father and what he did here. But I think we're going down the wrong path here. This is an old wise man here. There's not enough winning. No, not enough winning for Richard. And no offense to him, but he hadn't really won that much. And we're gonna be hurting. Mark Lieberman probably is as good a choice as we could make. He sounds terrific, and I did see how well he did in those semi-pro things we were doing here.
Yep.
Anyway, that's it.
Hey, appreciate the call, Ron. Absolutely, man. You?
Look. 1 year at FIU,
I'll take shirts.
Turn the program around in one season, gets Minnesota, takes him to the tournament twice.
Let's get back to that D2 guy. Who was that guy? Get that one guy. Get Daniel to call back. I need that D2 name again.
It's also what people don't
see.
You make
a fine coach.
Well, thank you.
You make a fine head coach.
And so what people don't see is behind the scenes how much input, how much, you know, people just don't realize how impactful assistant coaches are. And what Richard did at Louisville, seeing it firsthand, and then, you know, getting New Mexico, which was absolutely
probably the fourth best conference, third best conference in the country this year, and he won it. So I mean,
all those coaches and all those coaches are like sought after.
I mean, a fourth? I say fourth. It was probably behind the Big East, behind the Big Ten and SEC.
Right. So you know what? You talk about winning. They put New Mexico on the bubble.
Yeah.
Maybe first four out, maybe four in. He knew he had to do well in the conference tournament. Yep. What does he do? He goes out and wins the entire thing.
Yeah.
So look, sometimes it's, and again, he is 41, and you look at it's can he win? Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Seeing it firsthand. He knows what it takes.
Who do we got next, Nick?
Next up, we got our man, Jacob.
Jacob, welcome in, man. What's going on?
I just had a quick question I wanted to ask. All these people who are all over Will Wade, have they actually looked at his schedule last year?
I don't know. I know where you're headed, though.
Southland Conference. Three of their opponents for people who are talking about winning. Three opponents that they played last year: Bible Studies University, Champion Christian, and their one of their last wins in the middle of the season for non-conference was Mississippi University for Women. That's all I have. Just
wanted
to hear that for everyone who has a Will Wade.
Drop the mic.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Yeah, but again, with a guy like Will Wade, I've watched him win the SEC championship. So you know what I'm saying? Like, but I understand. I'm not saying Will Wade wasn't my number one, even if he didn't have a show cause. I think he could do good here, though. I mean, mm-hmm. I do think he would have did good here. I think he fits. I mean, when you look at that, but. Also, you are cherry picking three non-conference games from this season and then erasing everything he did at VCU and everything he did at LSU. You know, now you don't have a lot of tournament success. I'm fine with that. But again, when you get outside of two or three guys, there's a lot of holes in the resume. You know, I mean, listen, if Scott Drew didn't play a tournament in front of no fans, I don't know that his resume would be great. Because in tournaments with fans, he's not exactly set the world on fire. He played one without fans, and he went and won a national championship. Again, not taking that away from him.
That's a national title.
Yeah. But, yeah, I mean.
You want to scrutinize? If we just sat here for an hour and broke down a candidate, everybody. You're going to find flaws.
Everybody.
We're human beings.
Yeah.
You know, you're chasing perfection. But you're not. You're just trying to find somebody who understands
it. If we hired Billy Donovan, somebody would have called in and said, "Well, if you take those two national championship years out of it, it was
too long ago.
Well, and where he basically got a dream team, mm-hmm. and then they all came back. You take those 2 years out of it, is his resume super great?
Right.
That we would field those calls. Like, yes, I'm
saying
he's
not winning in the NBA.
Yeah, you can pick apart a resume. Right. Nick, do we have another one on there?
Yes, we do. We got two more.
Okay, two more. Yeah, Let's do two more.
Jason and Dylan.
Okay, Jason, welcome in, man. What's up, buddy?
Hey, thanks, guys. Hey, I was wondering if Coach Lieberman could just break down the styles of the three kind of top candidates, specifically on defense, to kind of understand, is this a style that the fans are going to embrace, or is it going to be more back line-ish that just kind of, eh? So.
Hey, appreciate it, Jason. Yeah,
everybody knocks the pack line, and people don't understand that every single team in the country play a style. They don't maybe call it pack line, but basically you're protecting gaps.
Yeah.
You're not allowing guys to split you. You're forcing skips and fades. You're not allowing paint touches.
Sure.
So every team basically – so when that's become
we were
like
just number one in the country running the pack line. So
you know, and
wasn't the worst thing in the world.
And I've never used that term, but when I've coached – there's similarities in everything. So
does Richard run a matchup zone?
He does. He runs.
Okay.
He runs both of it. He changes defenses, and that's what you have to do in this game as well. And you have to understand. You watched Indiana State the other night, or you didn't? I watched them against SMU, and they were just getting pummeled inside. And I know Coach Schertz is not a big zone guy, but they went zone to protect Robbie Avila. And make sure that
willing to change. Yeah.
Yes, and so that's a huge part of it.
It's a big deal.
And to Drew talking about the fact that Richard was able to go up to his father, and I was right there, as I was not the person that was going to say it because I wanted to keep my head. So you know, it goes up against Florida in the Elite Eight game and says we can't stay in the matchup. They've prepared for it.
Bradley
Beal.
Kenny Boynton.
By the way, when Bradley Beal came down, Richard and I were just sitting. He came down the first possession, I think, was a pull-up jump shot by him. We just looked at each other and it's like, game over, man. It's just like, that guy, oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
And then they had, you know, they had.
Who's the
Patrick Young, the big guy. They had Irvin Walker, the point guard.
The little point guard. They had Kenny Boynton.
Yes, Kenny Boynton, who I coached in since he was like 9 years old in travel basketball in Florida. So loaded that team was.
Whoever recruited him pretty hard. I remember Kenny Boynton,
Yeah, but back to like – so I think Coach Schertz's style, like he's able to adjust it, and he probably hasn't had the athletes at Indiana State.
Sure.
So sometimes your offense has to help your defense.
Yeah.
And that's part of it. As far as Pat Kelsey, he's a very aggressive offensive coach. And I can't speak specifically. I had one of my former assistants played for him. He's a very intense guy, gets after it. But I think his real focus is on how fast that pace of play is offensively.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's a good answer, man. It's a better one than I could have gave. like, I don't know. They all play and shoot Really good. All right, we got one more call. Who was it again, Nick?
We got our man Dylan from Tennessee.
Dylan from Tennessee. Welcome in, man. What's going on, buddy?
What's happening, fellas? Great That's show it. Today, as always.
Thank you.
I just wanted to jump on here real quick about Richard. These people saying he doesn't win enough. I mean, tell me if I'm wrong on this. He won NIT championship his first year at Minnesota, correct?
Correct.
He did.
He did? Okay. Yeah. Won his conference this year in a Mountain West that, on paper, and I think, I mean, in practice, they were killing it this year.
Yeah.
You all were going over, I mean, was top, I mean, who was a KenPom top 20, or, well, top 30? Well,
no, yeah, it was 27 overall. Yeah, top 20, or top 25 defense, top 50 offense. Yeah.
Gotcha. And then we'll go back to what Josh Hurd is looking for. He wants a guy that loves the job, wants to be here, and wants to stay here for a while. He's the youngest candidate on our list. He's paid his dues. He's had Power 5 jobs. The other guys we're looking at don't have those Power 5 jobs. And I don't necessarily hate the other two candidates. But when it comes to these people saying he's not good enough, what are you all talking about?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, he has shown his worth. And it's just the guys he's been under. He's been here. He understands the job. I mean, this is just a no-brainer to me. I mean, this is a guy that people look at me like I had three arms when I've been saying from the beginning, this is the guy I want. I mean, nothing against Scott Drury, that he didn't move the needle for me. Like, people are saying it's just like the no-brainer. I don't know. I'm not the biggest Scott Drury guy. I think we have our guy, fellas. And this would just, man, this would just, like I said, it would put us back in balance, I feel like. All the rights will be, or wrongs will be righted, and
Dylan, hey man, I appreciate the call, buddy. Somebody did call in yesterday and say they were like, if Richard was the coach, because I do believe that Richard was going, and I think you would agree with me, that the plan was always for him to take over for Rick. And somebody said, what if I was in a, they were like, I'm gonna pretend I've been in a coma for the last, this guy called in, he's like, for the last 7 years, and I just woke up and things are back to normal. And everything went fine. We got Anthony Simons and we got Romeo Langford and we did a great job and Brian Bowen was a great player for us and everything just went fine. And now Richard took over for his dad and his dad, you know, maybe he took the St. John's job and just passed it along, you know.
So, well, maybe it was a different route and different avenue and it still happens. But, you know, talk about winning. If you gave a guy like Rich Pitino the resources at Louisville, the everything that encompasses this job and it goes along with it.
Sure.
Let's see what happens.
I agree. Coach, thanks for sitting in with me today, man. This was fun.
This was a blast.
I wanted to pick your brain today with all this going on. So,
That's awesome.
Thanks, Nicky.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks, Nick. Nick, you can play us on out of here, man. We're here at Triple Crown Dentistry again. Drew was here this morning, Dr. Eric Nunley. Get out here, man. Let them take care of you. I can't give a better recommendation than just I would literally have anxiety. Wouldn't be able to sleep about going to the dentist. I don't think twice about it now. Doesn't bother me a bit.
So, you could get your dental work done on an airplane even.
I could.
While it's flying.
At the same time. Yes. Yeah, while flying it. Well, it's going to be, you know what? You never know what the next 24 hours are going to bring. I hope you'll tell me if you know anything beforehand.
You know it.
All right. Well, I appreciate it, man. All right. Steve Rummage, Mark Lieberman, Nicky V, 93.9 The Ville.